All right, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 1 through 18. Our subject this morning, the adventures of Ishmael. The adventures of Ishmael. And in the book of Genesis, and we're going through it now, and we'll be in this book for the entire year. You might as well understand it. Here it is, February already, and we're only in the 21st chapter. And we may be in it more than a year. I don't know. But there is so much in this portion of the Word of God that we just don't want to rush through it. We want to share with you these things that are found in the book of Genesis, because as I've said before, I'm going to say again, if you go astray in the book of Genesis, you're going to go astray in the entire Bible. Now, in the book of Genesis, God sets forth just exactly how He saves a sinner. And that hasn't changed from Genesis to Revelation. And I've read after people that are supposed to be well-known individuals with regard to Bible study, and they come right out and they say, well, people in the Old Testament weren't saved like they were in the New Testament. That is not true. God never had but one way to save a sinner. That's salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And in the book of Genesis, God also sets forth all the doctrines that are found in the entire Bible. Now, one of the major tenets in the Bible has to do with the nation of Israel. And today we're going to see that set forth in this portion of the Word of God. There are really three things that you ought to look for when you study your Bible. Number one, you ought to look for Christ. That's number one. He's the major person in this entire book. Number two, you ought to look for the major theme. You young folks that are going to school, you're going to have to read book reports, or you're going to have to read books and give book reports. All right, you're going to have to look at the major person in that book. Then you're going to have to look at the major theme, or plot, as they call it. Well, the Bible is no different. The major theme or plot of the entire Bible is redemption or salvation. And then there's some major individuals. And one of them also, in the book of Genesis, has to do with the nation of Israel. And today we're going to look at the adventures of Ishmael and see Christ, and we're also going to see the nation of Israel. I believe you're in for a good study, so let's look at it as we read rather rapidly. And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Isaac bare unto him, Isaac, or whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad, and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and took bread, and a bottle of water, and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast a child under one of the shrubs. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot, for she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, and lift up her voice, and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, and I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. Shall we pray? Our Father, this morning, thou dost know the seriousness of this hour. Thou dost know the inability of the human vessel. Thou dost know, Lord, the ignorance of every one of us that know thee. And then thou dost know the opposition of the evil one. So we pray, move upon our congregation today as only thou art able. O Spirit of God, quiet every mind and heart. Fasten everyone's attention upon that which you have for us to learn. And then send forth thy word in power and apply it to these hearts that need to know thee. Strengthen the children of God, we pray, and bring these unto thyself, Lord, that need to know thee as their as Redeemer and Friend. May we hear that glad cry this morning, but may we also, Lord, be rejoicing as we go away from here, because thou hast met with us in a peculiar manner. The glory is thine, and the privilege will be ours. We ask it now for thy glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our subject this morning, the adventures of Abraham, or I mean of Ishmael. Remember, to go astray in the book of Genesis means to go astray in the entire Bible. Therefore, that makes the book of Genesis one of the most important books in the entire Bible. And people today, for the most part, do not hardly ever study this portion of the Word of God. It's a sad commentary that the average Baptist church spends so little time in the Old Testament. And the results of it is seen. The average Baptist today doesn't know anything about the Bible. They know very little about it at all, and if they know it at all. And most of them can quote you John 3:16 and probably the Romans Road and everything else, and that's about all they know. But, beloved, there's a whole lot more to the Word of God than just these simple things that I've mentioned. Now, in our lesson today, we're going to look at two things. First of all, we're going to look at the birth of Isaac and see in him a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to look at the adventures of Ishmael and see in him the history of the nation of Israel. You see, this book is a Jewish book. It's written by Jews, about Jews, to Jews, and the Gentiles. And we need to understand that. And salvation is all of God, and it's all of grace, and yet God says point blank that salvation is of the Jews. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is a Jew. And if you have the Lord Jesus Christ living within you, you have a Jew living inside of you, and therefore you cannot hate God's people. Now, as we look at this portion of the Word of God today, we're going to look, first of all, at the birth of Isaac as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five things stand out that I want to share with you rather rapidly this morning. First of all, the birth of Isaac and the birth of Christ were planned and purposed by God Himself. Now, everybody ought to understand that. In Genesis chapter 17, go back to it if you will, and look at verses 15 and 16, and you'll see here God's plan and purpose revealed to Abraham. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and will give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now what you have here, you have the plan and purpose of God. God intended that Sarah bring forth a child whose name was Isaac. The people that were involved were Sarah and Abraham, nobody else. In like manner, with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, God intended that the Lord Jesus Christ was to be born of Mary and of Joseph. Joseph was not the legal father, Joseph was only the legal father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not the actual father. And keep that in mind. And God planned and purposed that. Now, people today get upset when we talk about the plan and purpose of God, but there's no need to, because everything that the Lord God of heaven does, He does according to His plan. Now, you and I are the same way. When you go to work tomorrow morning, all right, I'm going to tell you right now, if you start at 7 o'clock, probably some of you have to get up at 5. Now, you don't get up at 5 minutes to 7 and then come walking in at 8 o'clock and expect to hold a job. You may do that once or twice, but I'll tell you right now, you won't do it more often than that because your job won't be there. You and I live according to plans and purposes. And in like manner, the Lord God of heaven does the same thing. As our Lord planned and purposed the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, so our Lord planned and purposed the birth of Isaac. Now, God said it a long time before it came to pass. And you remember in Genesis chapter 17, our Lord said that Sarah was going to have a son, and then we find very clearly that Sarah and Abraham didn't want to wait, and so what did Sarah do? She told Abraham, she said, take my handmaid Hagar, you have a son of her, and out of it came Ishmael. Now that was not according to God's plan. God allowed it, He permitted it, but I'm going to tell you right now, God never called Ishmael into covenant relationship with him like He did Isaac. And you and I need to understand that. The second thing about the birth of Christ was this, as it's set forth in our chapter today. We see also that God's omnipotence is referred to in each case. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? In Genesis chapter 18, go back to it for just a moment, and let me show you this, if I may. In Genesis chapter 18, beginning with verse 9, we read, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Now notice these words. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now what do you have here? God's omnipotence or God's power was called into question in this case. Sarah didn't believe it. And are you listening? It sets forth very clearly that God's power is called into question many times, even by believers. And you and I, when we do that, we better recognize one thing. We are not pleasing the Lord when we call into question His power. We need to learn one thing. What God says He will do. Period. And we need to understand that. And you sinners here today, you've got to learn that too. Our Lord says very clearly, all that come unto God by the Lord Jesus Christ, He will save. Period. He will save us to the uttermost. Now you're either going to believe what God says or you're going to disbelieve it. And when an individual disbelieves, and they'll remain a sinner. And when a believer doesn't believe the Lord God of heaven in entirety, I'm going to tell you right now, he lives on a low plane of spiritual life. We need to recognize one thing. God's omnipotence overcomes every obstacle there is. Now, Sarah called this into question. But I'm going to tell you something else. So did Mary. She called also God's omnipotence into question. Turn back, if you will, to Luke chapter 1, and you'll see what I'm talking about. In Luke chapter 1, we find God said to Sarah in Genesis chapter 18, is there anything too hard for the Lord? But now notice in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 31, we read, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now look at Mary's doubt. This is what she said. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now look how God answered her. He said in verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon her, and so on. And then in verse 37, God sums it all up and says these words, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And beloved, you find here the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ pictured for us by the birth of Isaac. It was planned and purposed by God Himself, and God's omnipotence was called into question by both. Now that's the second thing. The third thing is this. The birth of Isaac and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ both required a miracle. Go back to our text, Genesis chapter 21. And look at what it says. In Genesis chapter 21, look at verses 1 and 2. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Do you get that? Now what was this? Isaac was a child of miracle. He was a child of promise, and he was also a child of miracle. The same thing is true with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to Luke chapter 1. Keep your fingers on it, if you will. Keep your finger on Genesis 21. We're coming right back to it. But we find in Luke chapter 21, and look at verse 34 and 5, where we read, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, what in the world are you talking about? Mary had never had any relationship with a man whatever. And are you listening? I'm going to tell you right now. No woman on the face of this earth today can give birth to a baby without having a relationship with a man. Now, people come along and they say, oh, now, preacher, what about artificial insemination? That's relationship with a man. But in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary was a pure, absolute, wonderful virgin. And yet, what did God do? God is the one that made her pregnant. And are you listening? It was a miracle. Now, the same thing is true with Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had a relationship, and God is the one that enabled both of them to have a relationship whereby Isaac could be born. It was a miracle with regard to both. And we find that the birth of Isaac and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ are synonymous in this way. Both of them required a miracle on the part of God. The fourth thing about Isaac and Christ, and makes them synonymous, is this. Both Isaac and Christ were named by God long before their birth. Now notice again, turn to Matthew chapter 1 while you're in the New Testament, because I know most of you still are. But in Matthew chapter 1, I want you to notice. Here you find, I'm going to bring you back to Luke chapter 1 in just a moment too. But in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 21. Here is the angel speaking to Joseph, and this is what he said. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All right? Now look again. We find very clearly that the Word of God brings out in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 31. And the angel again is speaking to Mary, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, we've got a little boy in the nursery today. I think he's there. And his name is Dakota. He's the grandson of Vernon and Susie Jones. And he's the son of, I hope I got the name right, Jan? Jay, all right, I'll get it straight yet. It's Jay. I always get it wrong. But anyway, Jay and his good wife. Now, what are you talking about? Well, now, I did not know what they named that baby until they told me. But are you listening? God came to Sarah long before she brought forth that child. And he said, Sarah, you're going to have a son. And you're going to call his name Isaac. He told Abraham the same thing. You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac. The angel of the Lord came to Mary, and came also to Joseph, and said to Mary, Mary, you found favor with God, you're going to be pregnant. In those days, pregnant without a husband was not an honor. It was a dishonor. But it was an honor before God. Because God singled out Mary, a pure virgin that she was. He singled her out from all above all other women, and he made her to become the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Joseph was all upset. He was engaged to Mary. They'd had no relationship whatever. And lo and behold, Mary wound up pregnant. And Joseph knew it. And Joseph said, what am I going to do? According to the law, I should take her in front of the elders of the village, and she should be stoned to death, but I don't want to do that because I'm in love with her. And while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, because she's pure. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Mary and Joseph were satisfied. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, here you have the beauty of the birth of Christ and the birth of Isaac. God's hand is in it. And God named both Isaac and Christ before their birth. All right, last of all, there's another thing. Take your Bibles now and go back with me to Genesis chapter 21. And we'll show you the last thing with regard to the birth of Isaac that ought to call our attention. And we see it's the same thing at this present hour. In Genesis chapter 21, look with me at verse 8 down through verse 10. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now what do you have here? All right, hold your seat now, pay close attention. The thing you have here is this, and it's true at this present hour, and it will be true as long as this earth remains. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, the coming of Isaac into the household of Abraham brought about strife and animosity. Now hold your seat, pay close attention. The coming of Christ into a household always brings about strife and animosity. Now you say, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Now why do I tell you this? Because Isaac was a child of promise. Hold your seat now, pay close attention. Isaac is not only a picture of Christ, but Isaac also is a picture of what takes place when God saves a sinner. And when God saves a sinner, are you listening? The Holy Spirit of the Lord God of heaven comes into our soul, takes up his abode, and from that moment on, there is a strife within the believer. Well, why? God doesn't save our old depraved nature. And you better understand it. As a believer, you're still possessed with an old depraved nature. And I'm going to tell you again, that nature never gets any better. In fact, it gets worse as the years go by. The old nature is still within you. And the Spirit of God is within us. And I'm going to tell you right now, within the heart of a believer, or within the household of the believer, which is his heart, we find very clearly there is animosity and there's strife because of what? Because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by way of the Holy Spirit. Now this is pictured for us right here in Abraham's household. Well now, Pastor, what about Christ? Well, it's no different. Take your Bibles now, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 10. And let me show you. In Matthew chapter 10. And listen to what it says. Beginning with verse 34. Here our Lord is speaking. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Now what do you have here? Are you listening? There are divided households in this congregation this morning. Some of the household are going to heaven. Some are on their road to hell. What is there? There's animosity and strife in that household. Well, why? The person that loves the Lord God of heaven and is going to heaven with us, we find that individual is desirous of pleasing the Lord, and the other individual is desirous of pleasing his own flesh, and if it's a husband or a wife, they want their mate to do what they're going to do. And I've had individuals stand up and tell believers these words. Well, now, if you're a wife, then you ought to go to the beer joint with your husband, and you ought to go to the honky-tonk, and you ought to do this, to go with him and show him that you are completely in submission to him, and that's a lot of hot air. Now, hold your seat. As a believer, you can't do that. If you do, you're going to run into trouble. And I don't care who you are or what you may be. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus is your Lord. He comes above. Husband, wife, son, daughter, anything else and everything else. And as a result, what happens? There's a strife in the household. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to get any better. If you're not having trouble living for the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not living for Him. If you're not having strife within your bosom, then the flesh is not warring against the Spirit. And if that be true, then it makes you wonder if the Spirit of God is even in you. But you see, when Abraham's household, remember now, Ishmael was first born. He was born after the flesh. I'll bring that out in a few minutes. But we find also, God did not accept Ishmael as the true son of Abraham. Ishmael was not the son of promise. He was the son of the flesh. When Isaac was born, Isaac came because of he was the son of promise. Isaac came because he was a miracle of God. And the result was this. There was a battle between the two. And they couldn't live in harmony with each other, and one of them had to be cast out. And when Hagar and Ishmael were sent away by Abraham, it was done by the approval of God. And are you listening? It's a picture of what one day is going to happen when we get the glory. You're not going to lose your Ishmael here on this earth. That old depraved nature you're going to have with you as long as you live. But the question is this. Which one you're going to feed? You're going to feed the depraved nature, or you're going to feed the Son of Promise, which is the principle of life that God has given to you when He saved you. And the more you feed on the Lord God of heaven, I'm going to tell you right now, the more the old flesh is going to fight against you, and the more you're going to have to cry out, "Oh, wretched man, who that I am? Who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh?" And I'll say to you very kindly, believer, if you're not having a difficult time living for the Lord in this day and age, then put it down, you're not living for Him, and it means that you're feeding the Ishmael nature. You see, this book is up to date. Now let's look at Ishmael for just a few moments. The coming of Christ, or the coming of Isaac, brought animosity and strife into the household of Ishmael, and the coming of Christ has brought strife and animosity into this world. That's why our Lord Jesus said, He said, "Don't think I've come to bring peace." He said, "No, sir, I've come to bring a sword. I'll set a man at variance against one another." the son against the daughter against the son-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and so on and so forth. And we see very clearly there's animosity there. Why? Because one is saved and the other isn't, and then you're going to have a conflict. And are you listening? You that know Christ, always remember, the Lord God of heaven comes first. Period. And when you live that way, you'll have a difficult time, but I'll also say this, you'll have a most glorious time. You say, oh, Pastor, don't you like a good fight? Aren't you a soldier? A soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you right now, fights. And the more you fight for the Lord, I'll tell you right now, the stronger you become. And you'll also enjoy it. More than once, people have come in, and like Dave James told me a number of years ago, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I can't figure you out. I said, don't try. And he looked at me kind of funny like, you know, and he said, but he said, one thing about you is this. He says, when the things get tough, he said, you get going. He said, it seems that the harder people get against you, the harder you get against them. I said, absolutely. When I know I'm right, I won't budge. And as a believer, that's the way we have to be. God doesn't want us to compromise. And always remember, the old nature that we have, God didn't save that nature. And you keep that in mind. God didn't die for that old nature. He died for you. And when He saved you, He put a new principle of life in you. In other words, you're like Isaac. You're a child of miracle. You're a child of promise. And when you were brought into, when this came to being, alright, what did it do? It caused a strife within you, because the flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit wars against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. And you'll see that set forth in the book of Galatians. Now let's look at Ishmael for just a moment, because there's another thing here. I could send you home, because I think you've had enough already, but I want to give you a little more. You ready for some more? I hope you are. All right, now let's look at Ishmael. We find also now, listen, the adventures of Ishmael portray the history of the nation of Israel. Now someone might say, now preacher, wait a minute. All right, let's look at it. Five things, and remember, five is the number of grace, and I'm going to give them to you, and you can write them down if you like. First of all, Ishmael was a son of Abraham after the flesh. Now, preacher, what and where are you talking about? Take your Bibles now. Genesis chapter 16. Look at it. Genesis 16. Look at verses 1 down through verse 4. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. Now, notice these words. And Abraham hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. He wasn't listening to the voice of God. And the result was this. He went in unto Hagar. She became his wife, if you want to call it that. She was still a concubine. But we find in verse 4, he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now what do you have here? All right, the result of that union was this. Ishmael came on the scene. Now, what kind of a man was he? Well, he was a wild man. God said he would be. But now, what do you have here? Ishmael is a picture of the nation of Israel, because Ishmael is a son of Abraham after the flesh. Now, hold your seat. Listen to me now. Follow me closely. Just because an individual is a Jew doesn't mean they're going to heaven. Are you listening? The nation of Israel today are born of Abraham after the flesh. Let it soak in. The Jews today, who are the children of Abraham, born after the flesh, they have to be saved just as much as you and I have to be saved. In other words, they have to become a child of promise, and they have to be saved by a miracle. And that's the way we are. And listen to me carefully. We We read in Galatians 3 this morning that we are all the children of Abraham if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true. You see, we belong to the seed of Isaac. Now, Ishmael was a son of Abraham after the flesh. And the nation of Israel today are Jews who are born of Abraham after the flesh, unless they've been saved. That's number one. Secondly, in Genesis 21, look at it if you will, we find, notice carefully, Ishmael was set aside after the birth of Isaac. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Genesis chapter 21, look with me at verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. Now what do you have here? All right, listen to me kindly now. Follow me closely. Ishmael was a son of Abraham, born after the flesh, born of Hagar the Egyptian, and the Jews are born of Abraham after the flesh at this hour. All right, Ishmael was set aside after the birth of Isaac. Now, hold your seat. This was done by God's approval. Now, what's the history of Israel? Take your Bibles now and let me show you the history of Israel up to this present day. She's been set aside with God's approval. Turn to Acts chapter 28 and look with me quickly at verses 25 through 28 and you'll see what I'm driving at. In Acts chapter 28, look at verse 25 down through verse 28. And Paul the Apostle says right here, listen to it. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now look at verse 28. Be it known unto you therefore, or be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And at this present hour, I want to tell you again, the salvation of God is being sent primarily unto the Gentiles, because Ishmael, a picture of the nation of Israel, has been set aside. Now God has done that with the nation of Israel. Turn to Romans 11 and look at verse 25. And we see it set forth for our learning again. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. What mystery? That blindness, notice, this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Here's the mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And beloved, that's portrayed for us by Ishmael. When Isaac was born, there was strife. God said to Abraham, he said, all right, he said, move out Ishmael and her mother. Let it not be grievous in thy sight. In other words, Ishmael and Hagar were sent away from the tents of Abraham by God's approval. And are you listening? When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came first of all to the Jews. They would not receive him. Then he sent the Jews aside, and he is appearing at this present hour primarily unto the Gentiles. And that's why this is a mystery. The Jews today don't understand Christ. The Jews today don't want to hear about Christ. Why? God's put a veil on their heart. And he set them aside until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now there's a third thing about Ishmael. We find also, take your Bibles, go back to Genesis 21, And we see again the third thing. Listen to it. Ishmael became a wanderer in the wilderness, devoid of life-giving water. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Genesis chapter 21, look at verse 14. And Abram rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept, and God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now, preacher, what more you have here? We find Ishmael and Hagar became wanderers in the wilderness of Beersheba. Here's the history of Israel. Israel today are wanderers in the world, devoid of the life-giving water of God, or devoid of God the Holy Spirit. Only a remnant of the Jews are still being saved, but that remnant is growing, meaning very clearly to us these words, that the fullness of the Gentiles is almost come in. And therefore, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour, I'm going to say to you very kindly and earnestly, you better get in earnest and find Christ before it's too late. Our time is almost up. And when it is up, only God knows. But right now, before our eyes, the Jews that have been wandering all over the world, they're going to Israel from Peru, they've gone from Ethiopia, they're going from Holland, they're going from Germany, they're going from Russia, they're going from Brazil, they're going from South Africa, they're going from Australia, they're going from Canada and the United States. The Jews are beginning to go back to the land because their shofar, or lamb, has been sounded, or ram's horn, I should say, has been sounded, and is calling out to the Jews, come home! Now why? You see it in the history of Ishmael. God's not through yet with the nation of Israel. He set her aside. She's wandering in the world like Ishmael wandered in the desert. She does not have the life-giving water of God as Ishmael didn't have the water until God opened his eyes. And beloved, it means that you and I don't have much time left. And so what you do for God, you better do it now, before it's too late. Now the fourth thing about Ishmael was this. Genesis 21. Look again, verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. Now what do you have here? All right, the fourth thing you have with regard to the history of Israel, and it ties right in. Ishmael was a wanderer in the wilderness. Israel is a wandering in the field at this hour, and we find, but in the fourth thing is this, God gave water to Ishmael, so the Lord one day will again visit the nation of Israel. Now notice, this thing stands out. Verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. He didn't hear Hagar. He heard the voice of the lad. Why? Ishmael's a picture of Israel. And he says it twice. He said he heard the voice of the lad. He brings it out twice. Two is the number of witnesses. And we need to understand that. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Ishmael was there in the desert. He was crying. He had no water. He was facing absolute death. Now, how does that tie in with the history of Israel? All right, turn to Zechariah 14. We'll show you. in Zechariah chapter 14, you have the same thing set forth for our learning. Zechariah chapter 14, and we find this is what the Word of God is telling us as we bring it out to our learning. In Zechariah chapter 14, look with me, if you will, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. All right, now what in the world are you talking about? Here's what God's going to do. Go back to Zechariah 12. And we find very clearly, look at verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour out, or I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now what do you have here? All right. As God gave water to Ishmael and kept him alive because he heard him crying, so the Lord God of heaven in the history of Israel is going to put her in the place of death where all the nations of the world will be gathered against her. And then if the nation of Israel will cry unto the Lord, and God will answer her like he answered Ishmael. Now, that hadn't come yet, but it's going to come. All right, last of all, because my time is gone. Take your Bibles now. Turn to Genesis chapter 21, and then Genesis chapter 25. And we'll show you the last aspect. In Genesis chapter 21, look with me now. Notice what it says. In Genesis chapter 21, verse 21, here is Ishmael again. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. All right, now keep that in mind, Egypt. Now turn to Genesis 25. And look at me at verse 16. Genesis 25, verse 16. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes, according to their nations. All right, two things I want to call your attention. The first one is Egypt. The second one is number 12. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? How does that tie in with the history of Israel? All right, turn to Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah 19. And I want you to see this. The book of Isaiah chapter 19. And look with me, verse 23. Down through verse 25. And this is what it says in our learning. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 23. In that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Now, what do you have here? All right, in the future history of Israel, she's going to be united with Egypt. Now, keep that in mind. Here you have it right here. Three nations, Assyria or Iraq, Egypt, Iraq, and Israel, right here in Isaiah chapter 19. All right, so identify Israel and Egypt. Now, preacher, where in the words of 12 come in? All right, take your Bibles now and turn to Ezekiel 47. And then I'll sum it all up. Ezekiel 47. Listen to what it says. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 47. And look with me, verses 13 and 14. Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have two portions, and ye shall inherit one as well as another, concerning the which I lifted up my hand to give unto your fathers, and this land shall fall unto you for inheritance. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? All right, let's sum it all up. Here's the final conclusion of the history of Israel. It's seen set forth in Ishmael. Ishmael took a wife out of Egypt, so he was united to Egypt. Ishmael had 12 princes. Are you listening? The history of Israel is this category. The history of Israel consists of 12 tribes. We don't know who those tribes are yet, but God does. He knows where they are. God has promised them the land of Palestine. He didn't promise it to the Palestinians. It belongs to Israel. And are you listening? They're not going to give it up. They're going to get it all. They don't have it all yet, but they will. And we find in the final analysis, we see very clearly, as Ishmael was united with Egypt and became a great nation of 12 princes, so in the future, and according to God's timetable, Israel also will be one day united with the nation of Egypt, and she will consist of her 12 tribes. Now there's the adventures of Ishmael. Do you see why the book of Genesis is so important? When you go astray on this book, you go astray on the entire Bible. But now let me finish, because my time's gone. What about us at this present hour? All right, think of it. Ishmael, portraying Israel, is still wandering in the wilderness. But what's happening? Her days of wandering are soon going to draw to an end. Preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, you put it down. The government of Israel today has said point blank, and they mean it, and they're carrying it out to the extent that they are able to do, and that is this, that every single Jew in the world ought to be back in the land of Israel. And they're going to go there. They're wanderers in the world at this hour because of the fact that they have disobeyed God, and God has set them aside, and now God is calling out a people from the Gentiles for His name. And I'm glad He is, because I'm in that number. But I want to say to you very kindly, these events that are taking place before your eyes are the warning of God. Sinner, your time for salvation is drawing to a close. And you better get dead in earnest. Because when my Lord is through with the Gentiles, He's going to come and He's going to take us unto Himself. And then He'll deal primarily with the nation of Israel, and He'll deal primarily with the Gentile nations in judgment. Now, do you know Christ at this hour? I pray you do. All right, how do I become one? Two things. There's the promise of God, and there's the miracle of God. As God said to Sarah, He said, I will visit you at the set time, and out of you will come a child. And so God has today a promise to every sinner. You know what that sinner is? Or you know what that promise is, I should say? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You mean, preacher, here I am, a poor, lost, good-for-nothing, stinking, rebellious, hell-deserving sinner. You mean God is inviting me to come and be saved? He is! Do you want Him? Aren't you like Ishmael today? You're wandering in the wilderness, which is this world. You're devoid of the life-giving water. You're facing death without Christ. That's your situation. And our Lord says to you, look! Look! As He told Hagar, He said, look, there's the well. She couldn't see it till God told her to look and revealed her eyes. And I'm going to tell you this. You can't see the beauty of Christ And our Lord is telling you at this hour, sinner, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. All right, believer, take this home with you. If you don't have problems living for Christ, then you're compromised. And the old nature, which is still in you, hasn't been changed. It's as totally depraved as it ever was. And whichever one you feed is the one that will grow the strongest. If you feed after the flesh, all right, you'll be like after the flesh. You won't be any different than anybody else. But if you're a true believer, I'm going to tell you right now, there's a hunger in you, there's a thirst in you, and there's a desire in you to feed after the things of God. And if you let everything and anything get in the way, all right, then you're giving in. You've got to struggle, and I'm going to tell you again, believer, you'll not have a time without a struggle as long as you're here on the face of this earth. But thank God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Your first thing is this. Do you know Christ? Settle that first. And if you have any doubts, whatever, then you better go back and find out if God's ever done a work in your heart. And if you've never seen yourself as a lost sinner, you ask the Lord to open your heart and make you a lost sinner. And then when He does, your cry will be unto Him, Lord, save me, or I perish. You'll be like old Ishmael, crying there alone. That's another sermon. I'll save that for next time. But you'll be like Ishmael, crying there alone. And then God will hear you. And the greatest thing can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord to save you. Shall we stand? Our Father, this morning, thank You for this time together. Thank You, Lord, for the clarity of Thy Word. And always thank You for showing us these marvelous realities that are set forth in Thy book of Genesis, and they're expounded upon throughout the entire Bible. Lord, help us to grasp these and to see them and then to rejoice as Thou dost show them to us. And Lord, make us better servants of Thine. All we pray, enable us, Lord, to live victoriously before Thee and with Thee. And Spirit of God, use us and strengthen us as only Thou art able. For these in our midst that need Thee, we pray. Finger around their heart even now. And, O Lord, open their eyes like You had to open the eyes of Ishmael. And show him that water in the wilderness. Lord, open the eyes of these dear people that are now in the wilderness of sin, and show them the Lord Jesus Christ, the well of living water. Oh, we pray, bring it to pass as only Thou canst do, and the glory is Thine. We ask it for Thy sake. Amen. Take your songbook and turn to number 254, and let's sing one stanza. 254. Now, God's passing by, my friends. And we'll tell you right now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in a precarious situation. You need to seek Him. You don't need me to lead you to Christ, because I can't lead you to Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I can show you what you need to do, and that is this. You need to go to Christ as a poor sinner. Now, He'll save you. But you go to Him as a poor sinner. But you see, the problem is this. Some of you are sinners, but you're not a poor sinner yet. And until you become a poor, destitute sinner, you're not even ready to be saved. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you don't know you've ever been there. My hope is you'll ask the Lord to make you a poor sinner. And when He does, you cry unto Him, and I'll guarantee you He'll save you. You're so emphatic about it, absolutely. That's the way all of us come. And as a believer, I want to tell you right now, you're going to face troubles. And don't you let that old sin nature get the best of you. You cry it down. You can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you live for God. Come what may, sink or swim, you live for God. And tomorrow when you go to work, you ask your people around about you. You realize what's going on in the current events. You realize how important it is. And you begin to throw things out there and watch them sit back and look at you in amazement. Most of them don't even know anything about it. But you see, you do. And if you don't know Christ, I beg of you again. Super mercy. On the basis that Christ died for sinners. And you're the sinner and you don't stop suing until He answers. And when He answers you, you'll know. And you come and tell me. I'm waiting to hear.